A Boston nonprofit organization called Our Space, Our Place is changing the lives of young people living with sight loss, offering a range of after-school activities from career exploration workshops, sports activities to cooking classes, and much more. The group aims to help them connect with others in a similar situation whilst building their self-confidence and independent living skills. Cheryl Cummings is the founder and director of the group, and she joins me on the line to chat how the pandemic and the past months have affected how they continue their work. It's so nice to have you on again, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you again. It's wonderful to continue our conversation.
Cheryl, your group offers a lot of activities for the kids.
Through participation in all different activities, kids really get a chance to interact with each other, use their imagination, develop, you know, speaking skills and develop socialization skills, etc. So we have theater, we do sports, you know, sort of depending. We've done beep baseball cooking classes at least once a month. We go to our fine arts museum. We also go to our science museum. We've had instructors in singing come and work with us. Recently, we started doing karate. And then the other thing we do is what we call career exploration. We have a professionally trained career coach who works with us. It's a wide sort of variety of things, and depending on the kids, the activities can change.
Have you found the pandemic in the last year impacted how you can deliver these classes and workshops and working with the kids?
Well, the pandemic has been good and bad. All of our things are truly based on people being together and getting to know each other and building sort of a little community among our students. The pandemic, of course, forced us to go virtual. So we unfortunately lost some of our kids because at the beginning, everybody, you know, was just hustling to figure out, you know, how does Zoom work and what do we do and blah, blah, blah. But the good part of this has been that we were able to continue many of our activities. We've still done our cooking classes. We've still done our tours at the Fine Arts Museum. We still do our theater classes. We still do our karate classes. And we've incorporated like other physical activities. We've done like our audio editing stuff, and we've continued our voice classes. And we've actually had somebody come in and work with the kids on poetry writing. Usually in the summer, we do a coding camp. And this is an introduction to writing HTML and a little bit of JavaScript. We invite in professionals within the technology field who are blind and low vision to come and talk with the kids about what their job is and what they do and how they do it and how they got there and that type of stuff. Sadly, this year we're not able to do that, but I'm thinking probably in the fall we'll be able to run a class. You know, things have changed absolutely, but I say one of the benefits of actually being online and people no longer seeing that as such an oddity is that we've had kids now who've participated from other states in other parts of Massachusetts. In that way, you know, we've met more kids.
And how did you find all the young people adapted to, I guess, going online and virtual with a lot of the classes?
I would say it was a mixed bag. There are kids who participated when we were in person who were no longer participating. And then there are other kids who sort of, you know, stuck it out. As you can imagine, like everybody else at the beginning, it's like, oh, what number are we using and what's the link and how do you do that and why do you do that? And, you know, just all the, and some people just having like awful connectivity. So they'd come in and then they'd go away. And we couldn't hear them, they couldn't hear us, all these, you know, just like the regular sort of stuff that everybody experienced with the virtual world. And over the time, you can see the kids becoming more and more comfortable with the tool.
Do you think this is going to improve things for them going forward? Because I guess getting this knowledge of, or even this ability to do things online without having to necessarily travel far could expand even their opportunities when it comes to college, uni, or job in the future.
Yes. I mean, but it will depend on whether employers continue to see this as an option. Because, I mean, you can probably remember that prior to the pandemic, asking to work virtually, depending on what sort of field you were in, was, I don't know, not acceptable. You know, was greeted with, well, how do we know you're working? What are you doing? It will depend. I mean, sadly, I've heard news stories where corporate leaders or other leaders are insisting that people come back to the office. And so I don't know. You would hope that since we learned that this is really, truly a valid option, that we would take the time to sort of think through how do you make it work as effectively and efficiently as possible, and recognize that it did open up opportunities for people, rather than a little bit of what I'm hearing, which is everybody just like, we just want to go back to normal. If you're a person who's blind or low vision, challenges transportation, like, can you get to where you worked?
As a society, what do you think is the best thing we can offer to young kids that are growing up with a visual impairment? What should we change?
There's got to be a way to present what kids need to learn as this is what you need to learn, not that there's anything wrong with sort of the way you are in the world. It's just that this is the way you are in the world, and to make it through the world, you not only need to learn how to read, but you may need to learn a system of how to read, right? So it's not just enough that you learn ABCs, but you need to learn Braille. And I think there are ways that can be presented to kids so that there's not so much opposition, especially for kids who are blind but may have some vision. I think if we can change sort of the way we understand what it means to have a disability, and if we can talk about it being, I'm not sure what the word is, but like a continuum, or basically, having a disability or not having a disability, they're both valid ways of existing in the world. And then, of course, if we took that further and not just looked at the way we educate kids, but the way we structure the world, right? Because we are the ones who are creating our environment. And there are decisions that are being made about the way the roads work, the way the traffic work, the way buildings look. I think if we really thought that everybody had a right to be in the world just as they are, then there are ways that we can structure things so that that really becomes a reality.
I do hope we can see those changes now. If you'd like to keep up to date with what the group is up to, just visit ourspaceourplace.org or search for Our Space, Our Place on Facebook. But for now, the founder and director of the group, Cheryl Cummings, thank you for speaking on RNAB Connects Radio.
Thank you for inviting me.